Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have an exclusive sit-down with the Chief Creative Officer and the meme lord himself, one of the funniest, wittiest guys that I know that works with us at Turning Point USA and the whole movement, Benny Johnson. You guys are going to love this conversation. You will laugh. You will think. I don't think you'll cry. Hope you don't cry. But I know you'll be moved. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, which you absolutely should, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And finally, make sure you are subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button. Give us those five-star reviews. Buckle up, everyone. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I am joined by the Chief Creative Officer and five-star general in the Meme Wars, Benny Johnson.
Thank you so very much, Charlie, for having me on. Your distinguished audience, my memes will most likely be very lowbrow for them.
Is that right?
Yes. And I appreciate you, audience, listening and watching, because I'll probably dumb you down.
See,
I will promise
my
you that
audience,
over the course of this time.
The listeners of the Charlie Kirk Show, they expect very thoughtful, historical, intergenerational analysis using corroborated history, deep philosophy, bioethics.
I listened to you and Crenshaw the other day. You guys went, they went on for an hour and a half. Philosophy, foundational principles of Western civilization, like big argument, like big time arguments. Not like I read this on the back of a Hallmark card stuff, like legitimate arguments. Like Charlie flipped a chair, Crenshaw flipped the table. They fought. They made up.
It worked out well. So, Benny, we're in an undisclosed location.
Okay, Mark.
Yeah, sure, exactly. He's in a bunker in an undisclosed location.
You have a good Levin impression.
Do I?
People don't know this about you. You have good impressions. You do decent impressions.
I use them sparingly and strategically.
Let's do the president.
No, that one's off limits. I only do former presidents. See, when someone's not, you got to respect the off. Benny, don't you understand that it's really important that we as Americans, we have to come together. And it's harder than you think.
Is this Jimmy Carter?
That's very funny. Yeah, close. Harry Truman. No, it was Warren G. Harding, Benny.
You have some Jimmy Carter hair going on there, Charlie.
Yeah, so here's the problem, is that we're currently in an undisclosed location in the 48th state. If you don't know what that is, look it up. And they didn't deem hair salons or hair cutting essential.
Yeah.
And so I've been geographically quarantined here for quite some time.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to do the Legolas thing.
The Legolas thing?
The Legolas. Is that a reference that goes over your head?
Yes. No, I do. I do.
How about Aragorn?
Legolas,
do you know that
would
one?
Be great.
Legolas, like hair down to the.
What's the line like? What's the line that they're like, I'll fight with my friend? There's like a famous Legolas versus the dwarf line.
Yes.
It's great. It's great.
In the Fellowship of the Ring.
The only real Lord of the Rings, kind of like allegory that I like to use is Helm's Deep.
Mm.
That's such a good allegory. Like you and the last hope for mankind, trapped in a small castle.
The reason I don't like the Helm's Deep allegory is they lost the battle if it wasn't for Gandalf. Like, they ceded the city.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're going to lose unless there's some triumphant return that's going to save you. And I guess biblically, that's very true.
Yes. They were doing, there was that crazy kamikaze guy, right? Like, they were doing fine, and the kamikaze guy blew up the wall.
And they had a ton of them.
They had a few.
So what, Lord of the Rings or Star Wars?
What, are you talking about Disney Star Wars? Or are you talking about original canon?
So I have a very, very...
Disney woke Star Wars? No way. Like, I'll take Lord of the Rings.
So why don't you rank the Star Wars films? I have a very strong opinion about this.
Ranking the Star Wars films. Well, Empire, A New Hope,
Are you order from best to worst? Is what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back is my favorite too.
Yes.
Opening scene in Hoth, incredible.
Yes. I was raised in Iowa. You were raised in Illinois. Half of the year is Hoth, essentially, in those states. So I like felt my childhood. My dad would open up.
Like, I know that place.
Yes.
That's Ames. I know that place. That's Algonquin.
People are opening up their animals and sleeping inside of them for warmth.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
classic
right.
Midwest. Yes, Midwest represent.
That's right.
So few people get it, but the real ones know.
So let me ask you the question.
The real ones know.
Do you like the Phantom Menace? I talk about this extensively on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, by which you guys should subscribe. Phantom Menace?
No, I don't like it. I mean, I don't. Why did we need – so I have a controversial opinion on this. And it goes like this. It goes like this because there's a lot of Darth Maul fans out there. A lot of like, he has two lightsabers. And look at him, the Gungans. Where would we be without the humor of Jar Jar Binks?
See, now Jar Jar Binks is one of the worst movie characters of all time.
Yes.
Juxtaposed with one of the greatest, Qui-Gon Jinn.
So you would have to lose those in my universe. But close your eyes and reimagine the Star Wars prequels as Revenge of the Sith in three movies. So you take Revenge of the Sith.
Episode 3.
All three movies, Revenge of the Sith could be three feature-length films. There is so much going on in that movie, and
it's
actually
so quick.
Fascinating.
Like Order 66 could have been an entire chapter of the movie.
It should have been the Empire of the prequels. Order 66 should have been the Empire of the prequels. Mm. Then there's an entire movie about Anakin's turn to the dark side. You end the Order 66 movie with Anakin, like, red glow in his eyes. He's starting to get angry.
Is this a unique take?
This is what I think. This is what I believe. I don't think there was a need for baby Anakin. I didn't need to see Darth Vader as a little kid.
Awful actor, too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But I love Qui-Gon Jinn. Big fan.
Sure. And so you'd have
Liam
to
Neeson,
change.
One of my favorite all-time movie
You're
quotes.
Gonna have to change.
I don't know who you are. I don't know where you come from. But I will find you. And I will kill you.
And then he gets killed by Darth Maul. I'm mixing Liam Neeson characters, by the way.
I've heard phone calls where Charlie like ends the phone calls just like that. That's the exact line that he uses.
That's how we end our staff call. No,
yes. But wasn't there was so much going on? And what is the most interesting thing? Jar Jar Binks stepping in poo, right? Like on some dumb planet, or where C-3PO came from, or how Anakin goes to the dark side. That deserved its own movie.
Mm.
And there was too much. There's too much going on. So that's my opinion. I've thought about this.
So the latest three, Force Awakens.
Yeah.
The last one is Intergalactic Dunkirk or something, right? Isn't that what it is?
I would say that
it's basically the Dunkirk movie redone for Star Wars fans.
The last one, you mean The Rise of Skywalker?
Right. The Intergalactic Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Have you seen Dunkirk?
I have.
Okay. Do you get the reference?
I wouldn't really compare the two.
It's the same thing. They're losing the battle and all the ships come and then they're fine.
I wouldn't really compare the two because...
Yeah, you're right. One is out of space and one's north of France.
I mean, I just don't want to project onto real people and real men who really suffered on those beaches.
Is this you being politically correct now?
The suffering that I entailed when I watched The Rise of Skywalker, which is a totally different suffering. I'm not saying they're the same. I'm saying that watching this type of woke Kathleen Kennedy... politically correct nonsense just jammed down our throat, and J.J. Abrams Count Dooku-ing Rian Johnson, right, for The Last Jedi, like they kills him.
Count Dooku-ing is a Episode 2 reference, Clone Wars.
And he tries like, yeah. And he tries, you know, he's trying to, it's just a mess. It's a mess. Here's my greater take on this, and something that maybe will kick off a sort of different conversation, but something that I believe is very important. We have... So few shared mythologies that we can all agree on, where the good guy wins, honorable behavior is rewarded, where the hero's struggle is told appropriately and correctly, and where you can believe in the characters and believe in their story. And Star Wars, the original trilogy, was one of those shared mythologies in our society. And I'm saddened that they destroyed it.
It's not a story that we're unfamiliar with. Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter are the exact same movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Born up on a desolate place of complete innocence, under a stairwell, Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
in the Shire, Frodo Baggins. Tatooine for Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Always the uncles are raising them. It's the strangest thing. Bilbo Baggins.
Okay.
The crazy uncle in Manchester who's raising Harry.
Yeah.
And, of course, Uncle Ben. Something happens that extracts them from that place of innocence that they didn't expect. So in the Shire, he goes away to pursue this new ring. The ring, of course, that represents inward struggle and temptation and the ability. What would you do if no one could see you? Like, if you could go invisible, do you still have morality? Like, if what could you get away with if no one knew what you were doing? That's what the ring really represents, that inner struggle. Harry Potter, similar struggle, a little bit different, where the biggest beast that you'll ever encounter is the one within you. It's the own struggle. It's the consciousness. It's the temptation to do what? What does Frodo, Luke Skywalker, and Harry Potter always struggle with? Going to the dark side. All three of them. All of them have different words for it, right? In Lord of the Rings, it's assuming the worst possible mantle of Saruman. In Star Wars, it's literally called the dark side. In
Harry Potter,
it's becoming one of Voldemort's soldiers or literally becoming he who must not be named. It's the same story. They all create a team around them that have different quirky characteristics where they reflect different pieces of morality. And they're all lacking something, and that's a playoff of Wizard of Oz, of course. Wizard of Oz was way more just upfront about what they were lacking.
Yeah, yeah.
But the same is with all three of these movies, right? What about Dorothy from Wizard of Oz? Same story, Wizard of Oz. She goes to a place outside of the place of innocence. It's the same story one after the other. And then the final thing, they meet a counselor that helps them and builds into them, foreshadows their struggle, and builds into their morality, right? Gandalf, Dumbledore, Obi-Wan Kenobi. What happens to all three of them? They all die. Now, some of them come back in different forms. They come back in visions and they come back in mirages, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Gandalf literally and physically comes back. Gandalf, Dumbledore. Spoiler alert, if you're not yet on the, what's the seventh Harry Potter book? Half-Blood Prince? No, that's six. What's the seventh Harry Potter book? Prisoner of Azkaban is three. Goblet of Fire. You're not a Harry Potter person?
I watched the movie. I never read the books.
You never read the books?
I didn't
read
the
books. That should be heresy. It's part of the central canon of growing up in America, is reading a British author's book retelling the hero's journey. The Deathly Hallows. Okay. Thank you very much. By the way, you guys can email us questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. This is totally unscripted. We didn't plan any of this.
Oh, yeah. They couldn't tell. Because I'm sitting there wondering, like, how the Wizard of Oz would have ended if Dorothy had a lightsaber.
No, I mean, we didn't plan any of this discussion out. That's what I'm saying.
I think she would have been a badass. I mean, she would have the witch wouldn't have stood a chance.
Killed the Wicked Witch of the West. Anyway, yeah. I'll finish the entire thing. What I'm saying with Star Wars and these hero journeys and these stories, and then I want to pick your brain about something in current media mm-hmm. that I think you might enjoy, because we're telling different stories to people now than we used to tell them growing up, especially in these kind of hero arcs, and that's why these last three Star Wars are so garbage.
Yes,
they're absolute filth. They're trash. Because they're more focused on postmodernist group identity politics and avenging some sort of inequality that doesn't exist than the actual individual hero's journey of rewarding admirable behavior and the upward ascension and struggle that we as Western society built our entire civilization around.
Yes.
And so what does always end up? Where does Lord of the Rings end? Where does Harry Potter end? Where does Star Wars end? Always the exact same way. Confronting the greatest evil within you. The thing that's been the thing that bothers you the most, going to slay that dragon literally in the second Harry Potter, he goes and slays that dragon in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. But finally, it's Harry Potter who realizes the greatest evil, the greatest thing that he's facing is actually within him. It's Frodo Baggins who realizes the biggest thing he actually is confronting is the ring. It's its own personal free will and the thing that he manifests the self, that the entire civilization is like whether or not you're going to throw that temptation and destroy that temptation. Of course, he actually makes the bad decision, was saved by the admirable qualities of Sam around him. And then, of course, finally, in Star Wars, Luke Skywalker confronting his own father, his own blood, his own flesh and blood. The thing that's been tempting him the most. This is the stories about Western society.
Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds, but before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are the best ones yet. They're incredible. Mr. Producer, right now, is wearing them. He's so happy. the Raycons are the way to go. No wires, no tangling. You can exercise easier, and they're cheaper than the other competitors. The everyday E25 earbuds are the best ones yet with 6 hours of playtime. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, perfect for conference calls or listening to the Charlie Kirk Show. Whatever you need, Raycon can deliver it. Unlike some of the other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. You've heard me talk about how a company was co-founded by Ray J and other celebrities like Cardi B. They're obsessed with Raycon, so pick up a pair right now and see what it's all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com. That's buyraycon.com. Here's a question for you. Have you seen Ozark?
No.
Okay, well then I can't get into Ozark. Ozark's nice. That's a different
Watching DVD-ish. Waco right now, actually.
See, I've heard that. Okay, I haven't seen it yet, but is it true that it paints the FBI in a pretty bad light?
Horrific.
Okay, well, that's
and the ATF.
That's an awfully nice segue to current events.
Horrific.
But just so everyone, if anyone's watching Waco out there, please email us your thoughts, by the way. freedom@charliekirk.com. Come straight to me. Right on the screen. Seriously. Big, vivid, colorful screen. Just so we understand, the Branch Davidians were like really bad people.
I don't think they argued that.
Okay. Because someone told me that that wasn't made very clear.
It's slightly
sympathetic. And I haven't seen it. But they almost make it as if the Branch Davidians were victims.
You end up hating the guy more and more.
Which one?
David, the leader of the Branch Davidian. I can't remember what his
name.
David Koresh. So David Koresh has child wives, you know, like marrying girls when they're 14, taking other men's wives.
I got to see it.
It's bad. So both are painted horribly, but let me tell you, man, the real licking comes with the FBI and the ATF. I mean, it is a precursor and perfect timing for what's happening right now in a tyrannical police state where the law has legitimately used militarized power in order to ratchet up their enforcements of just nonsensical orders.
Well, I mean, we're doing this live stream right now on the day that Michael Flynn, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, had all of his charges dropped up against him by the Department of Justice, correctly, by the way. You have James Comey, who now has said the DOJ has lost its way.
Yes.
Who, by the way, he literally set the trap for Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, and now James Comey will hopefully, God willingly, be held accountable for the injustice that he delivered against this man.
Yes.
Lieutenant General Michael Flynn.
By the way, also that tweet that you're referring to, Comey just tweeted, like, the DOJ.
He was probably copying Don Jr. Like,
doesn't that sound a lot like, I don't know, threatening the FBI and attempting to undermine one of our cherished institutions?
Are you not supposed to do that?
I thought that was a whole thing. The institutions.
Yeah.
Don't we love them? Don't undermine them.
I have a description of the ruling class. The ruling class, in James Comey's sense, is an individual of the ruling class is someone who cares more about the institution than the country. And so, for example, when he walked into the bureau every day, he cared more about the seal of the FBI on the ground than the flag on the wall. It's prioritizing the institution and the people around it and the supposed allure of it. So here we have today.
They operate like that, though. They operate like independent nations where the laws of America don't apply of these walls.
We're currently streaming this on Facebook and YouTube. So we might as well be honest about the platform we're streaming it on. Facebook is now appointing almost like a super government board of arbiters that are just going to be like the Supreme Court of Facebook. And some of these people are rabidly anti-Trump.
I haven't done enough research. I know that there are a couple in particular that have been brought to light by our friend Brendan Carr at the FCC for being just visceral Trump haters. Not just that, but people who like post nasty comments about Barron Trump, the lowest of the low. The lowest common denominator on the internet is to go after a child who has the misfortune of having their parents be the president of the United States. And that goes for the Obama girls. That goes for the Bush twins. That goes for Barron Trump. Leave the president's children of childhood age, out of it. But a person who did that has been appointed to the Supreme Court of Facebook, which, awful. That should be disqualifying for you having any job for the rest of your life if you're going after an 11-year-old boy whose only crime is being the son of the president.
Yes. Yes.
That person's now in the Facebook court. Bad news.
Incredible.
So we have today Michael Flynn, who had to twice mortgage his house, go into debt to try to defend himself. Meanwhile, there's exculpatory evidence sitting on the table of FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Let me ask you a question, because I don't actually know the answer to this, and I don't know if you have either. You and are on a lot of important phone calls with a lot of decision makers in these things. Tell us what you can. Does Michael Flynn have the ability to become one of the wealthiest men in America through a lawsuit of libel, slander, personal destruction, a class action like suit against the FBI?
Well, so there's a deeper philosophical point here, Benny, that I think we as conservatives need to talk about more. We are one of the only countries in the world where you can sue your own government. Think about that.
Correct. That's like Aaron Brockovich kind of stuff, right? Like
yeah,
where
but
these have happened before.
Your chances of winning are low.
Mm-hmm.
But the founders kept this provision in to protest your injustices against the state in front of a fair and impartial judge intentionally to try to prevent government overreach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, you're up against the state where they have unlimited resources, taxpayer resources at their disposal, and the presumption in front of a judge or jury is like, oh, the plaintiff is just trying to get some money and trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been cases where they've won. I mean, Katherine Engelbrecht won against the Internal Revenue Service, wrongful persecution, all these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant General Michael Flynn can submit a nine-figure complaint for summary judgment. And I don't know, as long as he doesn't file it in the D.C. Circuit or in the Ninth Circuit, which, again, he could basically, from what I understand, he could file it in any jurisdiction because he's been damaged. He could prove damages anywhere.
Sure.
This is a civil complaint where he can say, you had exculpatory evidence. My taxpayers, our government, had exculpatory evidence. Meanwhile, I mortgaged my home. My name was slandered, libeled.
Mm-hmm.
My whole reputation, my family torn apart. Mueller never should have been investigated. We have the 302s that show you guys were trying to entrap me, which is unconstitutional and illegal. And the proof that showed that it was unconstitutional and illegal was being sat on for 2 years while my legal bills ran up. And he has all documentation for all this. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to submit a civil complaint. Not, I mean, it's called a complaint, but I know that sounds insignificant for people watching, but that's what it's technically called. But a civil court action saying, I'm suing you for all these things. And so to answer your question, our ability as citizens to sue our government is precious. And praise God that we have it. And I hope Lieutenant Michael Flynn, this is the first time I'll ever advocate for government distributing money. Because it would be the government paying it out. It would be our money. I hope he gets a $200 million summary judgment.
And I hope that that judgment incentivizes the prosecution of the people who are behind this.
Well, so Lieutenant General Michael Flynn has Sidney Powell, and he'll build a incredible legal team around him, probably on gratis, right? People that will donate their time for a percentage of the winnings, right? And they'll go after media companies that slandered him. He could potentially go after James Comey personally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might – again, I'm not speaking as a technical legal mind. However, I do spend 5 to 6 hours a day pouring through this stuff, talking to people like Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr about issues like this.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the information I've been provided on this, if he could go after Comey personally, he should be protected under his time under the Bureau. But his greatest complaint is the fact that you indicted me and the exculpatory evidence was right there.
Yes.
2 years.
Yes.
And all the things that I missed out on, all the cost. Now, the counter argument people are watching, well, Charlie, didn't he plead guilty? They threatened him with going aggressively after his son. In white collar crime and these federal, the way these federal agents work with full autonomy, it is not rare for people to say, instead of me just fighting this for 18 months and the prosecution then recommending even more prison time if I am sentenced for whatever evidence they have, I'm just going to plea and get this over with. So, for example, if Flynn decided to fight this out of the gates, I'm going to fight Mueller, I'm not going to plead, I'm going to go crazy, they would have submitted this for trial very early, very soon, right? Just like they did with Manafort, just like they did. Stone was a little bit after, but just like they would. Manafort was the first one out of the gates, right? I'm sorry, Papadopoulos was the first one out of the gates, then Manafort, right? With Manafort, Manafort did not plead. Manafort pled innocent, right? He just said, I'm going to fight this. Well, originally, if he would have pled, and worked with the prosecution, which means basically rat on the president, of which there was no evidence, he would have gotten 3 to 4 years. He would have pled down, right? You could plead your sentence down because you saved the prosecution months and years of headaches, right? So they're like, all right, you'll cut us a deal by pleading. We won't put you in prison that long. So Flynn was like, screw this, man. I'll go serve for a couple months for lying to the Congress. As long as you don't go after my son, you don't. It's understandable why he did that. Now, people have to realize a plea is not just like, yeah, I did it. It's a 30-minute process. 30-minute process orally where you're standing in front of a judge and you have to read and reread. It is awful. It's excruciatingly long. Like, I, Michael Flynn, yes, I did it. On this date, I did it. It is a very exhaustive thing. Now, when he pulled his plea, you might remember this many months ago, I was talking to a lawyer who I won't say who or when, but he's a Democrat lawyer. Who's like, this is a huge mistake. He's going to get 10 years in prison for this because the prosecution's going to be really upset because they're going to want vengeance for pulling the plea. That's twice as bad, right? But Sidney Powell, God bless her, man.
Yes.
She is a firecracker.
Just savage. And, I mean, quite frankly, I think what Americans are really hungry for is the opportunity to see some sort of justice.
Yes.
In this moment. What's strange is that we're celebrating a victory of – it's like we run a play on an offense and our quarterback got sacked 20 yards, but he didn't fumble. And so we're celebrating – the entire team is celebrating that the ball wasn't fumbled and they didn't recover it. This is still a sack. This is still so egregiously wrong what happened. You're so rage-inducingly wrong for what happened. And I think conservatives, by and large, are starting to realize something that a lot of people have been saying for a long time, which is that there are two Americas.
We were ridiculed for saying that.
There's an America that does not function by rule of law, does not function under any order, functions like an oligarchy.
Yes.
And they have the boot on the neck of every American. And what I find fascinating is, forgive me, General Flynn, if you're watching this right now, because I'm not trying to mitigate what the pain that you've been through, but my goodness, doesn't Americans understand that now? We're all Michael Flynn in this current lockdown situation and watching the Orwellian totalitarian actions of the government, the police officers going to that woman's home and Wisconsin and yelling at her, demanding her name, owner.
We have a situation where salon owners are going to prison. She was released today. But salon owners are going to prison and rapists are being released from prison.
Correct. But what if she wasn't in Texas? She'd still be in jail. What if she was in Connecticut?
And her story might not even be held with sympathy by the local AG or the local district attorney.
So it's just like with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, you flip the coin, pray Sidney Powell comes up with it. Pray that you can find the smoking gun, the bloody glove.
If you read her book, I can't remember the name of it. We'll get the title. It's terrific. If you read her book, she sued the government and she won, and she investigated these same people that were doing it. She was betting here, man.
Yeah,
she bet. She's like, this is not right.
So let me ask. Because
she didn't actually know it existed.
Here's what I've wondered, and I've been getting this question the last couple of days. Christopher Wray.
Why were you sitting on this?
What's going on with Christopher Wray? And I wish I had more answers. I don't know why the president isn't summarily dispatching him.
Maybe he is.
I don't know why. How do you do this? And how is he not implicated? How is the current director of the FBI not implicated?
If you're really trying to restore the ethics, the confidence of the Bureau. You find out this exists, you immediately release it. If it wasn't for Attorney General Barr, this would not have been released.
Yes. Correct. So, right. And for all intensive purposes, you have to assume that Christopher Wray knew of it and hid it. He knew it. He saw it into the drawer.
And hope it never comes out.
But isn't that exactly what Comey did?
Comey did even worse, but yes, that is precisely what Comey did.
To cover this up? Nobody came forward with this information.
Yes, that's right.
No one came forward with this information.
It's entrapment. It's illegal.
Yes, absolutely. And let's remember that everyone was notified of this except for President Trump. Every person was notified. Obama staff, Joe Biden was notified that we're spying on the Trump campaign. There are Russians on the Trump campaign. They're compromised. except for the president. Everybody got a briefing on this, except for the president. After he became president, he didn't get a briefing on this. When he was sworn in, he didn't get a briefing on this. This was kept a secret, which is abjectly wrong. When Dianne Feinstein has a Chinese spy on her staff, the first thing they do is run into her office, beg for a moment with the senator, tell her that she has a Chinese spy on her staff, dispatch them. The lack of due process that was granted to our president in all of this is egregious. And then the FBI director he appoints
does the same thing.
Does the same thing.
That he appoints.
He works for Trump at his pleasure.
Yes.
How can you be working at someone's pleasure when you are I think it's bloody wrong to do this to any American, but with something so high profile, with so much at stake, how do you do this to the man?
They believe that the ends justify the means, that removing Trump and slowing down Trump is worth it because he's just that bad. But it's not about him personally. It's not. It's about what he represents. He represents a complete and total revitalization of our country. He represents challenging the ruling class elites in Silicon Valley, Washington, D.C., New York City. He calls them out for their BS.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, today in his thing, he says they're human scum.
What are correct.
And that's what they are.
Yes, correct.
These are morally bankrupt people.
Yes.
And what they did is so historically awful. And of course, the media covers for them. And guess what? President Trump's the only president in modern history to call it the media for what they are, which is an activist community for the destruction of the country.
Yes.
He says it differently. He says enemy of the people. I call it an activist community for the destruction of America.
Mm-hmm. I call it the DNC comms shop because that's how they function. But you're right. It is nefarious in the way that they operate, because if there were any just remote shred of dignity or principle left in our establishment access media, they would not be longing for the days of Obama Biden, when reporters were routinely spied upon. We know this to be
through
true.
Through unmasking.
Yep. Where whistleblowers were jailed with extreme regularity.
There are Obama whistleblowers that have died.
Of whistleblowers.
In recent months.
Dozens of whistleblowers jailed. The press would not be clanging and pining for this era again if they had some type of decency. Trump might insult you, but you're not getting spied on or tossed into prison. And so I that was what was happening with his predecessor. And so truly, like, it is a – you're right. It boils down to partisan hackery. I believe that the establishment access media functions as the communications shop for the DNC. And that's just sort of how I look at it, as a press release.
So let me ask you, Benny, let's shift in gears for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You have a finger on the internet better than anyone I've ever seen. Does a great job at Turning Point USA. By the way, your questions are coming in. I'm reading them. freedom@charliekirk.com. You guys can email us there. With currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker to blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can wager on. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day, all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device to join today for a new welcome bonus. That's visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline is the place to go. You visit the website on your mobile device. Again, I miss the NFL. College football is coming up. Go Ducks. Oregon should have a great season. I'm so disappointed. The tyrannical governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, says, I can't even go see the Ducks play the Bucks on September 12th or 10th or right on that weekend. I'm upset about it, but I guess what? You got to be involved with BetOnline so that you're in on the action. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses of the business. I can't wait for sports to get back. This is the place to maximize that. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Benny, is Joe Biden going to be the nominee?
What a question. So if you go down just two tweets, right? So Joe Biden tweets.
Yeah, give me the internet analysis
mm-hmm,
of this.
Mm-hmm. So Joe Biden, the internet analysis is this. You worked very closely with Trump 2016. You saw sort of from the inside. there was and remains to be a continuously smaller and sadder and more pathetic group of Republicans who hate Donald Trump.
Yes.
Call them Republicans, but Republicans who hate Donald Trump. All right? So-called.
They got enough to start a poker game.
Sure. Now. But when Trump was getting the nomination,
it was like a Joe Biden rally.
Yeah. It was Ted Cruz at the convention, right? Like, there was a little bit of, friendly fire that needed to be sort of tamped down. What you're starting to see is this boiling over with Biden. So you're starting to see this same type of a schism inside of leftists on the internet, where this unholy alliance of Bernie bros and AOC acolytes are coming together and saying, is this the best we have? This dementia-ridden, like, can't leave his basement, gropey, smelly, disgusting, multiple accusations of sexual harassment. Are we claiming the moral high ground? Because that's the point for AOC and for Bernie and for every socialist and Marxist. The moral high ground. A better America. We are better. We can be better. They're sitting there saying, this guy is trash. And we can't defend him. And all you have to do is scroll just right. So Joe Biden will tweet something. Here's how it goes. Biden will send tweet. Biden staffer sends tweet. Joe Biden's like right upstairs.
Napping.
Unconscious. Yeah. Yes, exactly. On his MyPillow.
I don't think Joe Biden buys MyPillow.
I bet he does. He goes.
I don't think Joe
goes
Biden buys MyPillow.
And is upstairs having like woke, like staffer sends tweet. A person who wants to, Stacey Abrams, Kristen Gillibrand, person who wants to be his vice president, comments that you're right, Joe. Then all you have to do is scroll one tweet past that. Just one. One tweet. Just go, ding. My God. Not from us. Not from woke conservatives. Not from me. Totally red-pilled, woke con online, roasting lib ownership all day long. No. I'm telling you, these are Democrats, dyed-in-the-wool progressives, people with socialist roses in their accounts, people with Bernie Bro in their handles, people with AOC, photos of them with AOC as their back wall, as their backdrop.
They have their pronouns in their bio.
Yes. Yes. Zer. Zer, please refer to me as. They are saying they are roasting Biden. I mean, they're roasting Biden. They are legitimately destroying him. If they could meme, they would be memeing him.
Well, this is what I told to a reporter recently.
Yeah.
Finish the thought.
I'm just saying that the dissent is massive, and they better hope that after this coronavirus, they don't they still have cops that are willing to defend
them. Conflicted on this because conflict is not the right word. I'm uncertain, and I'm not uncertain about a lot of things in politics. Part of me loves to see just Democrat destruction and just how all this chaos. But part of me actually kind of wants to run up against Joe Biden because I don't believe any of these polls that says Joe Biden's up 6 points in Arizona. Joe Biden couldn't find Arizona on a map if you filled in all the other 49 states and you called it Arizona, okay? I mean, the guy, I'm not trying to trivialize cognitive decline, but if you gave him the nuclear codes, he would mistake it for bowling instructions. I mean, the guy is not prepared to be commander-in-chief. The hardest thing he has to do every hour on the hour is make a coherent sentence.
Yes.
And, I mean, I got a call the other day from one of our dear friend. He's like, man, he's like, Biden really – what do you make of this Biden thing? I'm like, what, the coherent sentence thing or the accusations thing? And it's true. It's like,
Oh, you like Joe Biden? You're a fan of Joe Biden? Name three of his complete sentences.
That's right. I think it was your meme, Benny. We were like, get in the car, kid. Where are we going? What?
Yeah, we're going, where are we going?
Yeah.
It's sad. Shame on his family.
No, shame on our country for nominating this guy.
Well, not our country. It's his family. They know better.
Voted for him.
They know what's
not
going
to mention,
on.
He's the most corrupt vice president ever in the history of our country. More corrupt than Spiro Agnew, who resigned under Richard Nixon.
See, this is why it will blow up in the left's face.
So do we want him to be the nominee?
Bernie. Not picking Bernie. What's going to happen
is I called that, remember?
Joe Biden was in these meetings. These unmasking meetings, these General Flynn meetings, this spy on Trump stuff, Biden was there every time. Every single time. We know the meetings happened. We know who was there. We know what Comey was briefing. Biden is implicated in all of this. And you think Tara Reid's the worst of his problem? You think Hunter Biden's the worst of his problem? You think, like, really loving herbal essence and sniffing all of it is the problem. No. I truly believe as this thing unravels and as Durham starts his prosecutions,
jeez, I hope so,
that this will implicate Biden and Obama. And damn it, if we have a Justice Department left in this country, they should be the people dragged onto the stand to ask what they knew and when and who gave the order.
Senator Lindsey Graham should start subpoenaing people. We still don't know where Hunter is.
Yeah.
By the way, did we ever do a proper job?
We're both
going
to be trapped in our basement looking just like Joe Biden by the time Lindsey Graham sends a subpoena.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
Did we ever properly congratulate Joe Biden for being a grandfather? I think we never really did that correctly.
Oh, whenever he talks about his 6 grandkids, I always tweet, Joe, you're not remembering this correctly. You have 7 grandchildren.
Yeah. Hunter Biden's lover. And was it Alabama or Arkansas?
Arkansas.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Arkansas.
Drawing inspiration from Bill Clinton. So.
Mm-hmm.
What? No, but I guess here's the question, Benny. Do we want to run up against him? Or do we want a replacement like a Cuomo or a Newsom? I think we want him to be as damaged as possible,
yeah,
have a total and complete disaster of a convention, and run against him.
This is why you see – you can always tell who's the enemy of America when something bad happens to this country. They're the ones who are cheering. And when something good happens to this country, you don't hear a peep from them. So when the stock market's going up, when the stock market hits 2,500 on
Trump.
The way up, yeah, they're impeaching Trump. You don't hear Paul Krugman talk about a roaring economy and a roaring stock market. But when it's on its way down and it passes 2,500, you hear he's gleefully tweeting about it, right? These are true enemies, right? People who hate America. When you look at this brand of – when you look at this brand of person and the way that they have been behaving, and you ask yourself about – you ask yourself about Biden and these primaries, I guess my question would be, what's the mechanism? Is there a mechanism to actually get him off the ticket?
I mean, the only way would be if they convince him to step down at the convention and they open it up, open up the delegates then to choose. It's
so
the only
you take
way.
Biden off. Talk me through like the mechanism here.
So the Democrats got rid of superdelegates on the first ballot. So superdelegates are basically the ruling class of the Democrat Party. Republican Party never had superdelegates post-Nixon, which is kind of cool.
That's
it's always been purely fair. I don't want to say Democratic because that would be the wrong thing to say when talking about a Republican Party, obviously, primary. But it would be much more fair, much more equitable, and honestly allowed people like Reagan and Donald Trump to become the nominee.
Yeah.
Do you notice that absent Obama, who had such a revolution, every Democrat nominee has been unbelievably establishment and boring?
Yes.
It's that's what they are, because they are the corrupt, union, old school cartel.
Yes.
Of the political party. We always have – we have exciting new candidates. Absent, we lost our way when we put up John McCain and Mitt Romney. That's where we lost – we started to act like Democrats. Like, oh,
correct,
yeah, he's next in line and he's going to win over moderate voters. That's nonsense. That is nonsense.
And H.W. Bush.
And H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
Different conversation.
Covered in the MAGA doctrine.
In the MAGA doctrine. Here's the technical aspect of it. Superdelegates – Joe Biden drops out. Again, it's unlikely, but it's possible, or he says enough is enough, or it's he drops out or whatever it might be, right? Then goes to the delegates, and then someone can put up somebody else new, right? They could put up Cuomo, they could put up Newsom, they could put up Stacey Abrams. Everyone says Michelle Obama. I'm not convinced of that.
Yeah.
But this is the question I get the most right now. Is Joe Biden going to be the nominee? I did a whole episode on the Charlie Kirk Show. You guys can check it out. There's some good insight there. And if while you're at it, subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show. And we have tons of questions on the screen right now. It's freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. So, Benny, on internet chatter, when I told this to a reporter, when you look at a Joe Biden live stream, it is carnage against Joe Biden.
Yes.
I can't find a supporter.
Yes.
Is anyone out there... Do you know an actual legitimate Joe Biden supporter? And by the way, there is a clear and present danger. That's a nice Tom Clancy reference. There is a clear and present danger. If this Tara Reid thing continues to pick up steam, Bernie Sanders could still win some of these states that still have
totally.
Primaries because
right.
they postponed their primaries due to the coronavirus.
Yes. He just sued to be on the ballot in New York. I think that the people are going to walk in. The reason why these polls, I believe, are so skewed are because people know names, right? Name ID is a big thing. And they hear the name Joe Biden And they're like, yeah, I know that.
Oh, yeah, that's the guy who said you can't walk into a 7-Eleven without a slight Indian accent. That's the guy that gropes 14-year-olds and sells our country out to China and whose son sat on the foreign board in Ukraine.
The question is, like, do you want that back, right? Do you want that administration back?
Some people do.
America in decline.
Some people enjoyed seeing the slow embers of America go out.
Yes.
They enjoyed seeing the ruling class get itself rich. They enjoyed seeing us send billions of dollars to Iran. They got ecstasy out of it. Like, it made them happy to see this experiment.
Particularly the ruling class, which sold us out to China.
And also the dependent class.
Yes.
The people that, quite honestly, they believe in the leftist worldview and they believe in the Rousseauian Marxist worldview that it's not your own – it's not a consequence of your own decisions of where you are in your life. No, it's the system. It's the people around you. It's – you've been put into – you've been a byproduct of something. It's systemic racism. It's all these awful things around you, of which some of which may or may not exist. And I'm not unacknowledging that there's barriers. But we as conservatives acknowledge the barriers, step over them, and become a better and stronger person and advocate for more freedom and liberty because it makes stronger people, more ethical people, and a better society. The left says, oh, no, it's all the systems that need to be revolutionized. That's why there is no amount of money. And this is why I think that the Republicans need to get better at messaging. Do you think that they need to get better at messaging, Benny?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, just minor.
Just a little bit.
So if we had a media or if we had – here's how Republicans should handle Nancy Pelosi right now in this stimulus. They should say, Nancy, what would be too much money for you to spend right now?
Mm.
Blank check. Virus. Crisis. Tell us where you're like, no, I won't go that far. We demand an answer. Say it every single day. Give us an answer, Nancy. Give us an answer. Mm-hmm. The reality is there is no number that she would not be okay with borrowing, printing, creating, spending on fictitious, awful, corrosive government programs. There is no number. It does not exist.
Nancy, you're a Catholic and you've spent $7 trillion on protecting people from coronavirus. How much money will you spend on protecting the unborn from abortion?
Yeah, but she doesn't believe that's a human life.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is an awfully...
Was Kavanaugh a human life? Because she was the number one person seeking to destroy him and his entire family.
That activist mob led by Alyssa Milano.
And let's remember that this happened in front of his small daughters. His little girls had to sit there in that Senate chamber while the disgusting, sick, false accusations were leveled against him without a single shred of corroboration, without a pinprick of truth, and still yet to be proven. None of it. And Christine Blasey Ford took her GoFundMe money and went home. Dropped all of her allegations against Kavanaugh the second he got on the court. Grabbed her GoFundMe
and bag. Went on a long trip in the Southeast Asia where she said, I don't like going on flights.
Yes, correct.
And by the way, all I have to say is this.
Yes,
and I'm not going to get too far into this, but I have to say it. I watched a speech of hers recently. The octave level of how she spoke at that speech versus the infantilization octave level when she spoke in front of Congress were two completely different tones. Why did no one ask that question?
Well, no one had ever heard her speak before.
No,
so nobody knew what normal
but
was.
Like, I think that someone should ask, is like, why are you talking like an 8-year-old? She made the entire thing up. It's that no one knew the place. No one knew the time. No one knew the home. That she never told anyone. It's been completely debunked and discounted, and yet she's still treated like a hero in so many of these left-wing activist circles.
I want to tell you about one of my new favorite partners here on the Charlie Kirk Show. They care about security. They care about America. They take care about our country. It's PCmatic. They are a whitelist next-generation antivirus system platform designed to stop modern threats like ransomware. Ransomware could destroy everything you care about. Your credit card bills, your phone, your computer, you name it. Independent testing firm AV-Test just named PCmatic as a top performer in the cybersecurity industry, giving it the best performance award for 2019. Only PCmatic has American research, development, and support. PCmatic competition is made in foreign countries, many where the viruses originate. So if you want to partner with one of their competitors, you're turning your back on your country. PCmatic is pro-America. They're patriots. PCmatic Patriots. PCmatic blocks annoying and malicious ads for hassle-free web browsing and makes your computers faster and more reliable even after years of use. PC-Matic protects Windows computers, including XP, Vista, Windows 7, 8, and 10. I know a lot of people listening to this. Young people have Macs. Protects them, too. It's just $50 for five devices for 1 year with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you act now, PC-Matic has offered my listeners a free month of security protection with the purchase of an annual license. They will build the wall around your computer away from foreign adversaries. Build the wall. Accept the offer. Go to PCMatic.com/Charlie. If you're listening to this and your computer doesn't have a wall around it, you will allow foreign actors like the Chinese Communist Party to come into your computer. If you don't want that, go to get world-class security. Build the wall. Build it strong. Build it wide. Build it high. PCMatic.com/Charlie. It's PCMatic.com/Charlie. Let's get to some questions. You can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Hi, Benny. Big fan of your memes. What is your favorite TV show?
Well, I don't have to keep my mind clean and my thoughts crisp, I don't actually have broadcast television in my house.
Do you have OTT?
I will say that I have Netflix, even though I want to cancel it. Based on them employing the Obamas to essentially push communist garbage onto Netflix, which is true. The Obamas in their production house produced their first Oscar winning. Really hard for the Obamas to win an Oscar. Really tough. How will they know anyone? They produced their first Oscar winning series, and it was about how great it is that Communist China is taking over American manufacturing.
Yeah, wasn't it called like American Factory or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So this is your favorite TV show?
And no, this is why I want to cancel Netflix. But I keep Netflix because it has The Office. And my wife and I have sort of an annual thing where we rewatch The Office.
I have a wonderful series.
Maybe the best comedy ever put on.
Oh, hold on a second. That's an outrageous statement. Okay, just recant that.
No!
You need legal representation to make claims like that around me, okay? First of all, Seinfeld, Frasier, way better than The Office. That's just to start that way.
Different eras.
Secondly, I do love The Office. Yeah. But The Office is a deteriorating asset over time. It does not get funnier. The first season is unbelievably funny. By the way, it's so funny, you could not air that on TV. That's how funny it is.
That's true.
Let's just start with that.
I don't agree.
Get more politically correct over time. Yes, it did.
I don't agree.
It got more woke. It got more.
What?
It just did.
It made fun of woke culture.
It did, and it didn't. But it was not what it used to be. Diversity Day, Benny. Do you know what episode I'm talking about? Diversity Day.
Yeah.
You couldn't air that on HBO now. Let alone NBC Universal, where it originally aired.
And when he outs Oscar, same thing. You couldn't air those.
Or the basketball episode, and Stanley starts walking down the stairs. Secret weapon!
You're very Michael Scott, actually.
You think I'm Michael Scott?
As someone who works with you on a daily basis.
If you
you're very Michael
are a Scott. Racist, I will invade you with the North. This is what Abraham Lincoln said. And I bring that motto to the office every day.
That's what...
I got lots of Michael Scott quotes.
All right. So here's a question for Charlie. Charlie, you have just come off of New York Times bestselling book, The MAGA Doctrine. Can you sum up the book in three main points for us? It's still on back order in our local markets.
Well, yeah, a lot of bookstores are closing down. Thank you guys for buying it. You guys can check it out. MAGA Doctrine. It did make bestseller 2 weeks in a row in the New York Times list. And we sold many, many copies. Yeah, three big points. First, I wrote it. And I've done a lot of commentary in the book, so I won't spend too much time here. But I wrote it because I was sick and tired of people that hated the president telling me why the president believed what he believed. It's like, well, you hate him, Rachel Maddow. Why are you telling me his guiding philosophy? You don't know anything about him. You've never spent time with him like I have. You've never been in private with him. Like I know way more about him than you do. Like, I have way more of an authority to tell the story of Donald Trump than these anti-Trump sycophants for MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post. You know nothing. And so that was one of the first reasons. Second thing is I talk in more broad terms, multi-generational terms of what is it that Trump is trying to do that is so historic and so amazing, which is trying to save the American experiment away from
a complete and total agreement of the ruling class that are colluding together to destroy this country from within by deindustrializing it, bowing down to China, appeasing radical Islam, opening our borders, empowering the administrative state, enriching themselves, making the tech companies the most important thing ever. Why is a billionaire from New York who came down from an escalator, who was three times married and twice divorced, the most pro-life president in American history? Why is it that it took a billionaire from New York who was formerly a Planned Parenthood donating Democrat to put Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and 200 circuit court judges on the Supreme Court? Why is it that a guy that never served before in American politics was able to renegotiate NAFTA, get us out of the WTO, tell the WHO to go pound sand, tell the UN to go pound sand, renegotiate NATO altogether, get us out of the JCPOA, make sure those billions of dollars we sent Iran are not going there anymore, move the embassy to Jerusalem, recognize the Golan Heights, deregulate the American economy, make us energy independent, finally build the wall? Why is it that that guy did it? It's because every single other person that preceded him besides President Reagan was part of the problem. They are part of the very same community of people that were Ivy League educated, said one thing and did another, were part of the ruling class that protected the agency, protected the bureau, protected the DOJ. And as long as you said the right things and kept the deficits going, raised the taxes, deteriorated the industrial base, boosted Wall Street profits, kept the borders wide open so that we could have foreign nationals domiciling in our country that do not share our values, eventually get benefits, their kids can vote against our own values, then things will be just fine. Why is it that this guy is different? It's because unlike any other president, he could have been in the ruling class. He said no thanks. He had enough money to be in the ruling class. He's got more money than James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Smirk, his lover Lisa Page, and the person who probably published his book combined and multiplied times 100. He's the only president in modern history to have his own plane and actually go to probably a smaller plane when he becomes president of the United States. He's one of the only presidents that was a best-selling author, number one TV show on The Apprentice, NBC, literally was in every single rap song, was glamorized. President Barack Obama said the American dream is to be what? Is to be Donald Trump. That's what he said the American dream was. Why is it that this guy's all of a sudden the populist hero? He's supposed to be part of the ruling class. It's because he's a defector from it. It's because he was in the dinners. He was in the cocktail parties. He heard the language. He heard the contempt that the ruling class, the Wall Street financiers, the Washington, D.C. lobbyists, and the Silicon Valley elites that he had to be around. He knew the contempt that they had for the plumber, electrician, the carpenter, the bricklayer, and the person building the very same building that he was financing. So he took the woman rank mentality, the philosophy that built that woman rank quicker and better than anyone could have imagined, despite the New York City bureaucracy and the municipal burdensome rules. And he said, I'm going to bring this to Washington, D.C., and I'm actually going to do something that a politician has never done before. I'm going to tell you the truth, no matter how brutal and honest it is. I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. From the time he went down the escalator, he was the only person running for office that talked about China immigration, the two issues that are most affecting our country now. How was this possible? Because he listened to the very people the ruling class hated. He would walk a job site and he would ask him, What's on your mind? He says, man, I'm really worried that we're getting taken over by China. I'm really worried that we're getting too many people in this country. I'm worried I can't pay for healthcare. He internalized. That's what a populist is, someone who listens to the people. So what makes President Trump different? This is a president who didn't need his job. He's the only president in American history who's going to be poorer after becoming president than before. He's not going to sign a book deal big enough to possibly make up for the gains. His son, investigated by every single authority imaginable, from Bob Mueller to the House Intelligence Committee to Adam Schiff to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, after being set up for that very same meeting. His businesses audited and currently under criminal investigation by the New York Attorney General for no reason and no grounding for other. His other son, Eric Trump, his charity gets shut down for self-dealing despite no evidence at all. He just wants to give treatment to cancer kids, St. Jude's Hospital. His 11-year-old son, under constant and daily attacks for just existing as a teenager or early, you know, a 12 or 13-year-old in this society. How dare he live? He's the only person that would be more damaged materially, philosophically, and morally. Every other president ends up better on the back end. They end up being able to write their stoic journal and drama and being better respected. This guy is a vessel for us, a vessel for those of us that have nothing but resentment for the kingdom of Washington, D.C., the type of people that think everything is just perfectly fine because we just built a Hermes. Hermes is now in Reston, Virginia. Don't you know? Louis Vuitton's in Fairfax County, everybody. Things are great. Didn't you know that we literally have Dolce & Gabbana now in Georgetown? Things must be wonderful. You go into Washington, D.C., the cranes are as far as you can possibly see. The construction cranes, they're trying to rebuild the Parthenon, the Giza pyramids quicker than anything I've ever seen. It's more construction happening in D.C. perpetually. Why? It's the only place in America. This is why 8 out of 10 of the wealthiest counties in America are around Washington, D.C. It's the only place in America where they get richer at gunpoint. They have a multi-trillion-dollar cash flow happening into their center, into their power structure every single year, not because we want it. If Chicago and Minneapolis and Detroit, if people get rich there, they have to convince you to buy their products. Maybe it's manufacturing, maybe it's automobiles, maybe it's Best Buy, which is, of course, a Minneapolis company. But Washington, D.C. is different. They do it at gunpoint. This is why Trump is different, and that's why I wrote the book.
Market. Market. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not hear a better argument for the President of the United States than that 2.5 minutes right there. Cut it, mark it, drop it in. Are you a leftist? Are you communist? Are you Marxist? Are you super right wing? Doesn't matter. You can't disagree with that. That is the best argument you will ever hear, condensed, distilled like a proof alcohol into why Charlie Kirk believes in this president. And so if you're looking, look no further. That 2 minute clip right there.
Well, thank
cut
you.
It.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's one for you. Thank you, Benny, for the kind words. Who do you think Biden's going to choose for his nominee if he ends up being the nominee? The vice president nominee is what I mean. Not who he's going to replace him.
I think he'll make a catastrophic choice and choose Stacey Abrams. I think he'll choose Stacey Abrams. I think he'll give in to the leftist mob. She's lobbying hard. And even though she doesn't have a singular election victory or a singular reason or accomplishment to peg to her name or to hang her hat on, I think he'll go with her quite literally to give into a progressive mob.
I'm going to save my comments on Stacey Abrams for a different time.
Okay.
What question you got for me, Benny?
Charlie, you have spent a considerable amount of time with President Trump. What don't we know about him? What can you tell us about the man behind the scenes?
It's been one of the great blessings that I don't deserve to spend time with President Trump. A couple things. Number one, he listens. Unlike every other politician I spend time around a lot of senators and a lot of congressmen. There's some great ones out there, make no mistake. People I consider friends, people that I've had on this program. But a vast majority of them, Benny, vast majority, I'm talking 98% of them, they are not asking me questions. They're looking at their watch and they're looking at their phone and they're like, why am I talking to this kid? What can I possibly get out of this? That's a utility. The president, the duly elected president of the United States, only the 45th that we've had in our country, commander-in-chief of the armed forces who could launch a Tomahawk missile at any square inch anywhere across the world in a moment's notice, he looks me in the eyes every single time and he says, Charlie, what am I missing out there that no one is looking at right now?
Hmm.
What are you hearing with young people? What can you inform me with? He treats me like a subject matter expert, whether I am one or not. When it comes to young conservatives, people can come to their own conclusions there. He's the only politician I've dealt with a couple outliers that I mentioned in Congress, that it's never, how quick can I get this conversation over with?
Huh.
It's never like, oh, geez, okay, we got to do this, photo op, staffer comes in. Instead, he's like, give me 5 more minutes. Give me 10 more minutes. There's something here I can learn from. He's one of the few politicians that goes out and defends me. Not just me defending him. Think about that. He'll go out to his base, and Benny, he's retweeted you multiple times, and he pushes power to people that he sees are helpful to the country. I'm going to retweet that. I'm going to quote tweet that. He's big into movement building around the power source that he has. Other things in private, his sense of humor is unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's one of the funniest people I've ever been around. It's true. His memory is incredible. You say one thing, 2.5 years later, he'll be able to tell you the face and the person that is incredible. He's very charming, and his knowledge is incredible. And the left has to come to a decision here, Benny. Either he's a bumbling idiot that's in total mental cognitive decline, or he's a Machiavellian overlord trying to create this awful society, and he's really brilliant. They can't decide. It's one day, it's the other. It's like, I don't know. He's this. He's that. He's that. Right? It's like, they can't decide. Every day it's
a Nazi. He's also a Zionist. He's a Zionist Nazi. Got him. Roasted. Trump ended.
And they wrestle with this every day. I can tell you what. I know a smart person when I see one. And that guy right there is one of the sharpest people I've ever been around. Reads people incredibly well, commands a room, knows what success looks like, and works like heck. I won't say anything bad. I guess I could say hell. Works like hell to get it done. We have younger viewers. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com.
If you know smart people when you see them, why did you hire me?
Oh, that's funny, Benny. Is that self-deprecating?
I've heard of that. Is that humor you're using? Does not compute.
We're getting lots of questions.
Okay, here's a good one that I gotta ask. I gotta ask. This is a great one for you, Charlie. Is there any policy on the left that you wish you could port over to the right? In other words, have Democrats ever pushed for something that you say, that's a good idea?
That's an interesting question. There are certain Democrats that will push for something that certain other Republicans agree with. Boy, let me think about this. Yes, there is one thing. When Elizabeth Warren says that lobbyists should not be able to give the political campaigns, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah. I truly and completely agree that lobbyists should not be able to give to leadership committees, should not be able to give to PACs, and should not be able to give to congressional candidates.
Interesting.
When she talks about campaign finance reform,
yep.
And she says that also lobbyists should not be able to lobby for foreign governments. That's what embassies are for. I agree with her.
Yes.
Now, look, she's a complete and total fraud. She's one 1,024th. What was it? One 1,024th mm-hmm. Native American. Mm-hmm. There's no respect here for Elizabeth Warren. But when they say that, look, the future of the conservative movement where we're going to win is when we can go to the American people authentically and say, we are going to fight the kingdom. We are going to fight the kingdom of Washington, D.C. And we're not going to be part of this scum and villainy that's there. We're not going to be part of it.
Good reference.
Thank you, Benny.
Good.
That's a Star Wars episode quattro.
You've seen those kind of things, though, where AOC and Ted Cruz will get on board.
That's what I'm saying. Ted will agree, but I think we got to get more aggressive.
Yeah.
My campaign finance reform goes as far to say it's okay to be a registered lobbyist, but you can only meet a member of Congress in a publicly filmed massive gymnasium that will be created.
Okay.
Seriously,
I'm listening.
Lobby them. It's fine. But you can't give them money. You cannot influence their opinion based on any monetary exchange. And the entire conversation has to be filmed. The words don't have to be disclosed, but we have to see you guys meeting. That's it. And by the way, that will allow the type of lobbying that always gets argued for in defense of lobbying. Right? So people say, oh, no, we need lobbying. You don't understand because of abortion or because of – and I agree with that. Like, I want pro-life advocates because they represent human beings, not very specific foreign interests. So you have these people that, oh, yeah, I'm a lobbyist for Huawei and the Chinese Communist Party. Meanwhile, they're doling out $2,700 contributions. So what Huawei does is they'll factor in their monthly amount they give the lobbyists, knowing that a lot of that money is going to have to be siphoned out to candidates. So it's no different than Huawei, the Chinese Communist Party holding company, giving money to these candidates.
Yep.
And that's why they're able to dictate the policy they're able to dictate.
That's what it was. It was a lifetime ban on lobbying for all members of Congress.
I agree with that.
AOC and Ted Cruz came together.
Not only that, I think their staff should also – I believe in term limits for the staff. I believe that if you serve in Congress or anywhere in the executive branch in the higher echelon of leadership – like the top 5% of positions, you cannot become a federally registered lobbyist, and you cannot work for any lobbying firm, any firm that has any lobbying in their company, in their building, or even in their ecosystem, or even in the air supply. And then I also believe in the massive decentralization of government project. I think that President Trump should run specifically on bringing the cabinet back to the people. Department of Agriculture, it's coming to Iowa. Department of Education, it's going back to Wisconsin. Tens of thousands of jobs to each one of these states that deserve it. Why are all of our federal agencies located in Washington, D.C.?
We can have Zoom meetings. Everyone's okay with this now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, it's the new normal.
I can call them. I just go, boop. Okay, talk to the Department of Agriculture.
You could make the argument that would actually prevent corona outbreaks and pandemics within our own government.
That's true. You have to.
Veterans Affairs in Tampa, Florida. DHS in Phoenix, because we got to get that wall built.
Yeah.
All the illegals pouring into our country.
Department of Education in Greenland.
I do think we should purchase Greenland. I think certain.
Why not?
I think certain.
Why not?
People are like, oh, that's empire building. I'm like, hold on a second. You would have said that about Hawaii, and don't give me a second that you're not happy that we have Hawaii.
Yeah.
And by the way, from a geostrategic interest, Hawaii for missile defense and ports of entry and naval security, very important. All right, we'll get to a couple more questions. It's freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com. All right, Benny, here's a fun one. Benny, what Hogwarts house would you be in? There's only four. You only saw the movies, so you're like...
So, yeah, there's Gryffindor and Slytherin. Those are the
ones. No, there's Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw, too, okay?
Okay, well, people have been calling me a Hufflepuff my entire adult life.
Then you're a Hufflepuff, which is literally the lamest of all the houses.
I'm pretty lame. I'm a grown man who makes memes all day.
So give me an idea, Hufflepuff or the people make memes about Hufflepuff?
People make memes about me. And you. I've seen them.
We're not getting into
that. They're pretty great.
I would say Gryffindor because Gryffindor is the best.
Okay.
All right, Benny, what question you got for me on the screen?
All right. Charlie, if you could red pill any Hollywood celebrity, who would it be?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Even though I think he's like slightly there.
Yeah.
But I think just the physical force of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
And the amount of respect he has. Yes. I'd love for him to all of a sudden become like, you don't understand.
Yes.
The wall needs to be built. Ice in our communities. I think it'd be awesome.
I think you have these close the door, lock the gate of your mansion, 15 acres away from all humanity, sitting on their back porch, smoking a stogie, pouring a bourbon. Matthew McConaughey is like, I kind of love Donald Trump. Kind of love him. Donald Trump. Like, I think far away from any prying camera.
After he drives his Lincoln Navigator behind.
I think he kind of – that's a terrible Matthew McConaughey impression.
That was really bad.
I apologize.
That was brutally
I think he just like,
awful.
He's just like
– That was really
bad. I love
bad.
Donald Trump. I think he's like – in The Rock, similar. I think similar, right? Like, you can't go and be a WWE star and go around the country. And WWE plays – They're usually not in Manhattan. They're like in Columbus, Ohio, right? Like they're going to real America, like the parts of America we're from, like middle, like the fields.
He's
right?
ripe for red pilling, Benny.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
And by the way,
I'm
Joe
from.
Rogan is almost red pilled. He's there.
Oh yeah, he's totally there.
Yeah,
he's like I think Rogan.
He kind of goes. He goes in cycles. I love watching Rogan. I mean, it's some of the best stuff
thing.
Out there.
These people though are not leftists. They're liberals, and in a classical sense. They're live and let live liberals. And that's far more in line with libertarianism, really, quite frankly.
Yes, that's right.
These days, because classic liberalism just doesn't exist anymore. But, like, bless their hearts, as they say, they still think it exists.
That's right.
And so they, like, claim that mantle.
We'll do one more. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Benny, what is your favorite meme so far of 2020?
Oh, man. Oh, of 2020? Well, Biden sniffing's making a comeback. Put Biden sniffing anything. It's making a comeback, right? So that is getting hot.
So it's kind of like
right
Biden
now.
Sniffing is the new liberal tears?
Yes, in the meme economy, the liberal tear statue that I want so very badly actually around here.
Where the water comes out of the eyes?
Yes, I really want that statue. You guys know this, right? No!
And then you turn it into a fountain.
Yes, you turn it. Yes,
and
turn it
and
into
the
a fountain.
Spigot, if you will, not the spigot. That the top of the fountain would be the eyes.
Yes. So coronavirus memes were like extremely hot until people just got very bored of them. But really, the Karen memes are flying right now.
The Carol Baskin?
No, nanny state Karen. So everyone being a Karen.
She killed her husband, by the way.
There is,
allegedly.
There is the similarities between her and Hillary Clinton are just
alarming.
Alarming. There is nothing better than Karen memes, than nanny state Karen memes, and putting Karen style hair on Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo, you know, kind of like the really short cropped, like really nicely gelled. The reason I like the Karen memes is so often the memes will be like split up by party or by political affiliation or by worldview. The Karen memes is sort of like freedom versus tyranny. in its own meme economy. And you're either a nanny state Karen who's going to sit there and call on your neighbor because someone isn't living in fear, or you're just going to be the hell outside enjoying life with your family. And isn't that what being an American is all about? So I love the Karen memes.
Well, Benny, I'm sure you're going to be on the cutting edge of the meme production assembly line in a lot of different ways.
Oh, the meme factory is going strong.
Is that right?
Coal-fired factory. Meme factory.
It's not solar panel fired.
So I have a question. It sucks that this is live. This will probably be the last thing I ask you. This will be the last question I ask you, and I'm so sorry, questioners.
Again, try to get your questions in, freedom@charliekirk.com, and you could subscribe on The Charlie Kirk Show.
It's a question I have to ask because we're live here, and I'm getting greedy with Charlie's time, but I have to ask it. Let's say that you were working inside of a presidential administration. Let's not talk about the position. You're inside of a presidential administration, inside of a position of authority. Will you here on this live stream, in front of the millions of people watching right now, will you commit to finally doing what the American people want and demand?
It's about UFOs.
And that's starting the Department of Meme Warfare. And finally allowing...
I thought there was a UFO question.
Finally allowing us to save billions from the Defense Department by simply using memes, mimetic warfare, to make fun of our enemies. Let me give you an example. How much money would we have saved if we didn't have to kill Soleimani? We just started tweeting memes at him from the Department of Defense. Just humiliating him, tagging the Ayatollah, tagging the religious leaders of Iran, and we just started memeing the hell out of them and ridiculing them on a world stage.
You say this kiddingly. With all the money the agency burns through every single
year,
they should contract a firm. They should contract with a firm that does nothing but asymmetrical warfare against our enemies to mock them online.
By ridiculing them. It's the one thing that the Chinese leaders can't stand. Every dictator in the world can't stand being made fun of.
Oh, that's right. Because, and by the way,
they ban memes of themselves.
Yes, and this is nothing new. Stalin would ban cartoons against himself.
Yeah.
That was the equivalent of memes.
Absolutely correct. Yes, yeah. Correct.
So will I commit to creating the Department of Memery?
Yes, mimetic warfare.
There'll be a project of it, let's say.
Okay.
In all these very unforeseen hypotheticals you're talking
about. Okay, well, let me just say here and now, I submit my application for Secretary of Memes.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Again, subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider.
What a mess.
Make sure that subscribe button is written. So,
what a mess.
God bless you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
What a great conversation that was with Benny Johnson. Please email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you're involved with Turning Point USA. You got to get involved with Turning Point. Chip in some money. Start a chapter. If you're a student not getting involved, you are missing out with one of the greatest opportunities to fight for freedom and liberty, American exceptionalism on college and high school campuses, and also win the battle online, tpusa.com, tpusa.com. And finally, make sure you're subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. We're on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. Take out that smartphone, type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit that podcast provider. You guys need to do it to get the instant updates and the analysis as it happens. The biggest guests in the movement, they come to The Charlie Kirk Show for analysis and the break news. Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe again. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
Podcast One presents. This is a collect call from Sing Sing.
My name is John J. Lennon. I'm locked up for selling drugs and committing murder. I'm also a contributor for Esquire magazine and the Marshall Project. So I'm a writer and I'm a prisoner. Imagine trying to stay focused and talk about issues of substance with gates slamming, prisoners screaming, and PAs blaring in the background.
Get new episodes every Wednesday on Spotify, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.